The shell appears strong, but the inside is rot. It's time to be stirred. The time is now. The winds have changed. Read the signs. No time to hide. The winds have changed.
Millennia ago, from a little cave on a tiny island of Patmos in the Aegean Sea, the heavens opened and a vision was revealed. Since then, the world has been fascinated by the cosmic upheaval brewing in the horizon of history. The upheaval is now upon us. It is within us. To some degree, it has always been. But there has been a sudden and violent shift in the affairs of the world. The winds have changed. Heaven will not be silent. Let us now join Father Anthony Bush, pastor of St. Stanislaus Kostka, the Sanctuary of the Divine Mercy, and author of A Mother's Plea, For the Winds Have Changed. Together, we can pave the way for a hopeful response to the signs of our times.
Hi, everybody. Welcome. A good Monday. I'm Father Anthony, your brother. I share with you the distress, the kingdom, and the endurance we have in Christ Jesus. Boy, the last week of October.
Boo.
Can you believe it?
Boo. Sadly, yeah.
I know. Oh. Nick, how was your...
Here we go.
Don't worry, Jerry. But also, Jerry didn't want me to say too much or dwell on it too much, but... Yeah, it was a great turnout. It had about maybe like 20 people or such.
Wow,
really
good.
Good, actually. We had pizza and we had a great time. Some of the kids were there and they were watching The Nightmare Before Christmas and the new Godzilla.
Nice.
And everybody had a great time.
Good.
It was great.
Hey, but I only have one question.
What's your
question? Girlfriend? Did you scare her away?
No, and I wouldn't call her that. I mean, I've just started getting her, just started getting to know her. So
that's
I'm not at that point yet.
Don't
say
too
much.
Don't mess it up.
But yeah,
for
she
him.
Came. She was dressed as Minnie Mouse.
Minnie Mouse? Wow.
That's nice.
Now, did you dress up? Or?
Yes, I was Jason for Friday the
13th.
Oh,
that's right. You mentioned
so
it. Yeah.
It was pretty
cool.
I'll show you guys pictures later.
Okay.
But it was great. It was
so
great.
It's over, though. Now it's done.
Man. Now to next year.
Yeah.
Right. He's going to start preparing already for
exactly.
Next year.
I do sometimes.
So that's,
it was fun. It was great.
Next Halloween
Everybody
party.
Everybody had a great time.
Very
yeah.
good. It's well, it's still, you still got the celebration is coming up anyway. The
Thanksgiving.
The Eve of All Saints. Halloween. Halloween.
Okay.
What's your problem, Jerry? Geraldine?
She doesn't like
Jerry's
Halloween.
I'm not going to say anything, Father.
No comments.
I've
no
said
comments.
Enough for the day.
No you, come on, you got to talk.
No
but you had your prayer time today. So.
Oh, yes. That's the thing that saves me.
It does, doesn't it?
And makes me bearable for other people.
Yeah, you're right.
No, I'm on the same boat, Jerry. We're on the same boat. We struggle, and we want to be good.
Yeah, well, it's just the way it is. Life is like the weather, right? You got ups and downs and peaks and valleys. And
I'm glad you guys are on the boat. I'm in the water.
You're drowning?
Well, we had
sinking?
Not drowning. I'm in the water.
It was kind of nice Saturday night. We had
it was,
our,
how was that?
It was good.
It was long, but... It's,
was it long?
Yeah, I didn't
long.
Realize. Well, see...
We had a men's meeting.
Okay,
right. And
men.
I actually had plans that evening, but it's just that I didn't realize at the time. It was nice to sit with people and just, just talk. I mean,
you
I'm
guys.
Good with that.
Sit with the men.
People will tell me that I like to talk, but I mean, it
you
was...
You talked a lot, by the way, I wanted to tell you.
Tony?
Yeah, he sure did. He had something to say about everything.
He had something to say about everything. But no, it was nice.
Good.
It was nice getting together.
Did you expect that it wasn't going to go that long?
Yeah.
Really?
Well, you know me, Father. I don't like meetings. I don't like when people sit down and we try to figure out what we're going to... what we're going to do, but it was actually nice to just sit down with people that had different ideas.
Yeah.
And just,
the men.
Put it all in a basket and try to, hash it out. It was just really nice.
I enjoyed it, actually, very, very much.
And I met some new people.
Right,
And some old people.
Yeah.
But still, people that were of the same mind. I liked to...
Yeah. And then Becky tried to crash
and
it.
And then Becky tried to crash.
Well, she's trying to be a man now?
No.
She didn't know what was going on, and she had no idea what was going on.
Anyway, but it was nice. And so we have another meeting coming up in November 8th. But what we're trying to do is get men together to, just basically, for me, it's about, how do we live our discipleship and how do we listen to Jesus, and how does Jesus speak to men? Because I truly believe he speaks to men differently than he speaks to women. There's a different dynamic in the relationship.
I was going to ask Tony, did you think it was going to be shorter? Because men don't usually speak as much as us women.
No, it's not so much that. It's just meetings. I
know,
Father, in a way. I don't want to sit down and you hear the same thing over and over. But this was this was different. This was more a gathering.
Yeah.
You know, it's like
when it's like being among friends, really,
exactly.
Wasn't it?
Yeah.
How long did it last?
Oh, we did. Gosh, we were by 1 o'clock. It was a little one in the morning,
2 in the morning.
Yeah.
No, so, I don't think
no,
so.
No. I think by 9 o'clock it
okay,
was.
Okay, that's not bad. No.
No, it wasn't bad. But we started after the 5 o'clock mass, mm-hmm. so 6 to 7, 8 to 9. So we're talking 3 hours. So that was when you think about it, that went pretty fast.
Oh yeah, 3 hours.
Went pretty fast. So no, it was good. Good group of guys there too. So I was very happy about that. We had the older ones like me. I was the grandpa. You know, I was
grandpa.
It's so odd for me to think of myself as being the older one. You know, but because for so long
you'll get used to it.
Well, I guess so. Yeah.
And you're going to be getting older, so
yeah, it was. Well, you only go in one direction. So,
yeah.
But anyway, it was. But we had a nice mix. It was older, myself. I wouldn't call myself an old man.
No, you're not
an old man, but I'm getting up there.
You're a youngster in my eyes.
Youngster, well, sure, in your eyes, yeah, everybody. I mean, everybody's
perfect there, Jerry. That's awesome. There,
there you go. See, you are awesome, Jerry. anyway, well,
we love you, Jerry. That's what I like about you. I love Jerry.
Yeah. Well, it depends on how you define love, you know, all that, but for sure. Listen, there's a couple of things I wanted today to talk about. God's wrath. We've never talked about that before, and it came up yesterday in one of the readings, and it was there today in another reading. And I thought, and I was happened to be reading a commentary on, you know, what really, how do we define the wrath of God? So I'd kind of like to get into that in a moment, too. Perhaps we'll see what we can do. I get your opinion on that. Geraldine, you might be an
being full of wrath.
Full of wrath yourself, you know. But the other thing that, and I don't know, Christina, you have no idea what I'm talking about. Nick would have no idea what I'm talking about. Geraldine, probably not because she's of another generation as well. But Tony, you might know. Welcome back, Cotter.
Welcome back, Cotter.
Mr.
Yes.
Cotter?
Yeah. Did you do your...
John Travolta's first...
That was that program.
Yeah. You remember that?
Yeah. Yeah, I remember that.
You would have been just a baby at the time.
Yes.
What year were you born, can I ask?
The 76.
Please? Well, that came on in the... That was already off the air by 76.
Yeah. But they played the reruns.
Oh. Right.
That beautiful channel that has all the old stuff.
Oh, yeah, sure. Yeah.
Excellent.
Well, that was kind of the beginning of the what would you say, the unrest? Or, I don't know. It's kind of in the aftermath of the whole sexual revolution and the rebellion and the revolution. And so it depicted what this kind of, what were they called? The sweat hogs, right?
Hogs,
the sweat hogs
the sweat
at
hogs.
Buchanan High School,
mm-hmm.
in Brooklyn, New York. Mm. Nick, do you remember that at all?
What's that now?
Welcome back, Cotter.
No, he wouldn't.
Nah,
he,
Travolta.
I know he's just a baby. He
doesn't
time, know.
But I probably didn't know that
no,
one.
No.
I remember the guy with the mustache. No, that was Mr. Cotter. Yeah, see?
Mr. Cotter. Well, you know what? The reason why I bring it up is because, for a number of reasons, I suppose, but the main reason was that Marcia Strassman, I think, she died over the weekend, and she was Cotter's wife.
Okay.
The wife. So that, you know, I hadn't thought about Welcome Back, Cotter for a long time. Because there was one character that I always thought I looked like, and I still kind of do. There was one of them, of the characters. I always thought, well, that's who I am, you know? Not that I wanted to be that one, but I'd see him
and I thought
I looked like him. But anyway, but you know what was amazing? That so many of them have died already.
Yeah.
I was John Travolta's still alive. He was...
He's old.
Vinnie Barbarino.
Barbarino.
What?
Barbarino.
That's what he always do.
Hotsy Totsy died.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Did you know about her, Gerald? You didn't know?
No, you television viewers have it way over me.
Yeah.
Don't tell me you think you look like him.
Who's that I can't see? You got to bring it here and let me see. I'll tell you. Not the handsome one.
I thought you would think that.
No. No, not at all.
No.
Not at all.
Oh.
Okay,
let's see.
Not him.
You gotta get all the characters.
Well, these are the cast of characters.
For all the people that are listening.
I'm sorry.
Not Epstein, remember Epstein?
Yeah.
Not Epstein, though. Not
so
Epstein.
Which one is it?
Horseshack. And he died. I was surprised to hear that. But I always thought I looked like Horseshack. He was a nerd. He was.
I'm glad you said it.
No, it's, no, no, I'm not. I'm not. No. I'm not complimenting myself right. when I say that. But I
right. You always thought yourself as a nerd.
Of course, yeah, I am. Still, I am.
No,
but
no.
Horseshack, you gotta find Horseshack.
Okay, let me look.
These
for
were
him.
All. But he died.
I was surprised. Yeah. Yeah, so for those who don't know, Geraldine, you
I don't know.
You certainly didn't know anything about the.
I never watched it.
You're kidding me. Because that was, you were much older already at that time,
well,
right?
Well, for many years I have not watched much television.
Yeah, no.
No.
And I haven't either, to be honest. Since the 1990s or 1990, I think I stopped watching TV. But when I go home, I watch television. But in the 70s, of course, you know.
Are you serious,
Father? Absolutely. Do you see the resemblance there?
Oh, my gosh.
Well, if you see him in character, then you'll understand.
Oh, in character, maybe, yeah.
But even he's got the same face. I've got the similar face like Horseshack. But I was like Horseshack.
Doesn't look like
and
that.
It depressed me to no end, though, too.
I don't see any resemblance. And then he's got dark hair.
Well, but I had curly hair at the time, you know, not dark hair.
It looks like he has a fro.
Well, they all had fros in those days.
I was always
right?
a Travolta. I like Travolta.
Sure, of course.
Travolta didn't
he was
have
cool.
a fro.
Yeah, he had class. He was cool. But Gabe Kaplan, he's still alive. That was Mr. Cotter. Marcia Strassman just died. Strassman, I guess. She just died over the weekend. Epstein died.
Yeah, he died.
So he died?
Epstein.
Well, that's
Epstein.
Him.
No. Who?
Old. Horseshack, but old.
Well, Horseshack died, but that's Epstein is another one. Epstein Epstein? Epstein.
I say Epstein.
Epstein.
Epstein, whatever.
Juan Epstein. He was Puerto Rican Jewish.
Mm-hmm.
But so he died. Horseshack died. Ron Palillo, he died. They were all in their 60s, early 60s. And then, of course, Hotsy Totsy died. Hotsy Totsy, Rosalie. Mm-hmm. She was Deborah Lee Scott, you know. Well,
I only remember the
guys.
She
was 52 when she died.
I thought Washington.
Washington, he's still alive.
Yeah, that's what I thought.
But which one was, what's his name, his real name?
I can't remember.
Anyway.
He was a cool guy, too.
Yeah. Anyway, so that's that. So that welcome back, Cotter.
That's just aging. That's showing our age.
Why doesn't? Yeah, because I'm getting up there, too. You know, I'll be 60 next year. So.
No way.
Hard to believe, yeah.
The big 6-0.
Big 6-0. Anyway. So I thought that, you know, but that was kind of the sweat hogs from the Buckingham High School and that kind of, you know, rebellion, troublemakers, teachers had no control. You know, Cotter was kind of relevant, right? He was relevant and befriended the students.
I love those days because if you wanted to see pictures of the actors, you'd have to look in books and things, and now you can just put them all over a phone and pass them over to the studio.
Well, for people that don't know who they are, so have an idea.
But you said you've seen those before.
I remember my older brother used to watch that. Yeah. He was born in 71.
Yeah.
So he had the program, so I would watch.
Yeah.
So I remember Cotter, the mustache.
Yeah, exactly, Cotter. He's still alive. But Horseshack, Horseshack was it. I didn't like him because I thought that was me.
It's interesting looking back at these old shows. I've had many occasions where I'm looking and I'm thinking, why did I like this?
Well, you look back at the 70s, time. It was a very odd time in television and styles, the way we dressed. I mean, even to look back at our high school yearbook, and I graduated in 70. When did you graduate, Geraldine? I mean,
from high school?
Yeah. Before the war?
After the war,
1953. Was it?
Oh, wow. My gosh.
But that was a classy time, though. You have to say that you come from a time of great class.
You can tell by the class I...
Well, I mean, it didn't rub up on you, I mean, the era.
Class act.
But, you know, when you think of the movies of the 40s, the 30s, and the 40s, and the 50s, and the music and all that,
I don't care for the 70s, really, the music.
It was an odd time. That was an odd
time. But the 50s, the 60s, that music I do like.
I've always wanted to be around in the 50s. I think the 50s would have been a nice decade.
Yeah, I don't know. That was my... parents' era, I guess you'd call it. Your era, too, Geraldine. Yeah, right. So I don't know. I wasn't so keen on the 50s. I did like the 60s because I was a kid in the 60s. And
that makes a difference.
I like I like that. The 70s was just an odd time. Everything looks odd. When you look at the pictures, the color, everything, the hairstyles and the bell-bottoms.
The bell-bottoms.
all that stuff. You know,
the
it was
froze
just
and the sideburns.
Exactly.
And all that.
Yes. It's a weird time, but the music wasn't so bad though.
I'm not into the disco music.
Yeah. Well, that was short lived. It was very short, and it was of course Saturday Night
Fever
and all mm-hmm. that, right?
And isn't it right after that John Travolta went to Saturday Night Fever? That was the big
exactly. That's right.
I remember that because exactly, I love the show and then I love the movie.
That's right. Staying Alive. Mm-hmm. Right. Anyway. So, all right, but so anyway, so that's, but I was just surprised that so many of them have already passed on, but they died young, and I think almost all of them died rather suddenly. Horshack had a heart attack.
Yeah, I think I remember that now.
Horshack had a heart attack, and who was the other guy? Epstein. Epstein? Why am I saying Epstein now?
Epstein.
Juan Epstein. He died suddenly too. I think he might have had a heart attack, but I think Marcia Strassman, I think she's suffered cancer, perhaps, but she just died. That's why I bring it up. And Hotsy Totsy just died.
She like that.
She did too. She went into a coma and came out of the coma, and then 2 days later she just died.
She died.
Kick the buck. I don't remember the women. I just remember the guys.
Yeah.
Especially Cotter and John Travolta, because John Travolta was...
Well, he was a star, yeah.
He was a star, and he was the Hotsy Totsy one.
Mm. Well, from that perspective, yeah. But anyway, so that's that.
How are you with Howdy Doody and Clarabelle?
Well, I don't know who Howdy Doody is. Who is Howdy Doody? I've heard of Howdy Doody, but who is Howdy Doody?
That's a television program.
I know some
was
Howdy
from the 70s? I mean, the 50s or 50s, way back
probably
then.
Probably 40s.
Howdy
the
Doody
40s,
time?
Well, that's mm-hmm. what...
It's Howdy Doody.
Yeah, I remember.
Time.
I saw
it. Why
well,
you
asking
a question that. Like that? You know, I wasn't even around at that time.
I just thought I'd say it.
But I know about it.
Howdy Doody?
Yeah.
I know about it too.
Oh, look here.
See?
He knows about it.
Well, because you guys still watch TV, so you watch all the old shows.
I saw the originals, yeah.
Really? So Howdy like Doody was what? Was he a...
He was a puppet.
A puppet.
It was a popular puppet, too. Mm-hmm.
It was a kid's TV show.
A kid's TV show. Who was a guy... God, was it Gumby?
Gumby,
remember? Why did that, when you say Howdy Doody, I just saw that.
Gumby and Pokey, I loved it.
Gumby and Pokey.
That was weird, too. When you think about that, we had fun watching that.
Then
Eddie used
Murphy.
To watch that?
Gumby?
Because I watched that when I was a kid.
Well, I just remember it. I don't think that I ever got into it. I wasn't much into cartoons, by the way.
Yeah, you know the Howdy Doody, the guy, Mr., what was his name?
Buffalo Bob.
Buffalo Bob.
That's Tyrone right there.
Is it? Yeah.
Now he's Captain Kangaroo.
He looked like Captain Kangaroo.
Listen, let's stop this nonsense, and we're going to take a break, and then we're going to come back and get into something a little bit more serious, all right?
So good.
I think we should do that, right? Make Jerry happy, so. All right, well, don't go away. We'll be right back. I'm Father Anthony. You're listening to the listener portal, Winds of Change, and AM 750 WNDZ. Oh, yeah.
Hello, you silly elves.
Hello, Santa.
Listen, elves. St. Stanislaus Koska is having its annual Christmas Bazaar Craft and Vendor Fair.
This sounds like fun.
And, elves, I'm going to need your help to get ready.
We're happy to help.
Santa, when is the Christmas Bazaar Craft and Vendor Fair?
Well, Elfie, St. Stan's Christmas Bazaar Craft and Vendor Fair takes place Sunday, November 2nd, from 10 a.m. to 5 p.m.
Santa, is there going to be food?
You silly elf. Yes.
Yay!
Here, elves, read the menu.
Ooh, mostacholi, etzanais. Turkey and ham sandwiches.
Hot dogs.
Flautas.
Tamales.
Corn.
And so much more.
Is there going to be a raffle?
Ho, ho, ho. Yes, with prizes from $50 to $1,500. Ho, ho, ho. And the drawing is at 4.
Come join us for an afternoon of fun and games with tabs, sale items, bake sale, and so much more. And Santa will be there, too.
Ho, ho, ho.
St. Stan's Christmas Bazaar Craft and Vendor Fair, Sunday, November 2nd, from 10 a.m. till 5 p.m. at 1255 North Noble Street, Chicago, one block north of Division Street.
The Winds of Change
on AM 750 WNDZ and on the World Wide Web at windsofchangeshow.com.
How would your family's life change if you were living on or below $2,000 a month, amounting to less than $24,000 per year? About 650,000 of your fellow Chicagoans living in poverty are facing that reality. This statistic fuels the Catholic Campaign for Human Development in their efforts to fund organizations working to empower the poor. You can contribute to CCHD on November 22nd and 23rd during our collection. Visit ChicagoPeaceAndJustice.org for more information.
Welcome back, everybody. Thanks for being with us as we reminisce about those years long gone.
Memories.
Yeah, thanks for the memories, as Bob Hope used to say.
Did he say that?
He sang that song, yeah.
So you shouldn't know that, because that was way before your time. That was Jerry's time, actually, right? Bob Hope was your time, Jerry.
Oh, sure.
Yeah.
He's a fun comedian. And yeah, I'm just saying, for everybody, I feel bad that we're picking on Jerry a little bit here. Sorry, Jerry.
We always pick on you. Jerry.
No, Jerry don't care.
She hasn't come into her.
That's right. I deserve every bit of it.
Wait. What do you mean, we?
Anyway. I never pick on Jerry. No. I'm on her side.
No, I know you are.
I got your back, Jerry.
Anyway. Oh, well, listen. By the way, I was reading, because Friday we talked about the, I think I shared with you the, Pope Francis, his message at the end of the synod. Mm-hmm. So over the weekend, I happened to download Pope John, you know, because there was a synod. There was also a synod on the family in 1980. I was a seminarian at the time. This is before I was even ordained a priest. So we're going back, what, 35 years? I think 35 years.
I was only five.
Exactly. And so there was and it's amazing. This is what's really, really amazing, how quickly we forget, you know. Mm-hmm. Even when I say even how quickly we forget, it's interesting when Pope Francis went into the papacy, and you know there was all this talk about how he's the Pope of the people, and he, you know, like, we've never had a Pope like this before. You know, mm-hmm. he's hugging the children, and he's you know, out there. You know, Pope John Paul II was different character, but very, very much the same. I mean, he was the Pope of the people. In fact, he went
to Mexico. They loved him.
He was all over the world.
Africa, everywhere. Yeah. And he was known as the merciful Pope.
Right. And even the idea of humility. I mean, if you want to look at humility, you got to look at Pope Benedict. I mean, talk about humility.
Yes.
A true humility. But it's just amazing, you know. But anyway, so speaking of the synod on the family, the 1980 synod. So I read the Pope John Paul II's final remarks after the synod. And I'm telling you, nothing new under the sun. Nothing new under the sun. The only difference, I have to say, although the Pope Francis didn't bring this up, but it was the media that has been fixated on the gay-lesbian agenda.
Yes.
This didn't come into the... I mean, it was discussed at the extraordinary synod, but I don't believe that... Pope Francis made any reference to that at all in his closing remarks. But of course, in 1980, it wasn't even an issue at that time. But the question of the divorced and those who have attempted remarriage and all that came up. But it's amazing. Even the idea of gradualism, you know, that was discussed, at least brought up by some of the Synod Fathers, and what that means is. Let me just first say about the divorced and those who attempt remarriage, because they make a clarification in this response of Pope John Paul II when they deal with this question. You know, certainly the need to minister to the to couples, to family members, and all that, and even Pope Francis just on Friday, I think it was Friday or Saturday, he spoke to. A group, there are about 7,000 people from the Shanshat. Is it Shanshat? It's a movement that comes out of Germany. But he spoke, and if there's any question about where he stands with the family, there shouldn't be any question, because he has to stand with the church. He's a servant of the church. But he spoke about the disorder in the world and how that's affecting the family, and how there's so many forces going against marriage and against family. And he acknowledges the fact that in view of this, you know, that as priests we have to. He asks the question: Do we come close enough to the people that we understand the suffering? And I mentioned this actually in the homily on Sunday, or at least at some of the masses. I was basically making reference to my letter, but that I wrote in the bulletin. But the fact is that people are very much affected. I think I was very pointed about the absence of the father and what that does to women and what it does to children. You know, when the father's not present, he may be there, but he's not, you know, for whatever reason, fulfilling his obligation or his responsibilities as a father, as a husband. And the challenge is, you know, to bring men to understand that Jesus wants to bring them close to himself, and that he does, as I was saying earlier on, that he speaks to men in a different way than he speaks to women. And I think it's very easy for men to, should be very easy, but we have to be reminded and invited into the gospel story to take a place there in the company of the apostles, and that Jesus, as he walked Peter, James, and John, and the others through the gospel, and we see that they're students of the master, right, disciples, and the Lord is working there. He's forming them. It's a formation. Men have to be formed. It's got to be Jesus who is forming us as men, and always in deference to the Father, right? He's always pointing to the Father. But in any case, the Pope had talked about how the devil, again, he says, don't think the devil's not real. He says, the devil's real. This is Pope Francis. And he said, the devil seeks to disunify and to destroy. And so we have to know that that at the root of all this is this evil force, the Antichrist, the devil who, and so we. But in view of the times we're in, you know, do we know the people? Are we able to tap into their own psychological the suffering, the psychological suffering that has happened in the lives of families when the family is when it disintegrates, when it a marriage dissolves or the separation, divorce. He even spoke about cohabitation, whereby the husband and wife are no longer in basically living a marital life, and so they're kind of cohabitating. They're there, they're not there. The kids are confused, you know. Children are confused, and all. Anyway, just it was interesting that you know after just within a few days from the synod, he's speaking to this group, and addresses the crisis that is ever present to the family because of the powers and the principalities or the forces that are ever present in society. But in any case, going back to the Synod of 1980, same thing, aside from the gay-lesbian question or mm-hmm. issue, which doesn't fit within the, doesn't fit into the church's understanding of marriage and family. But we're all part of a family. We're all part of the family of the church, the mystical body of Christ. And whether we're married, whether we're single, whether we're religious, whether we're priests, men, women, we have everybody has a part to this is a part to play, but a responsibility to cooperate in the divine plan of God for the well-being of the whole body of Christ, and not just the body of Christ, but the body of Christ, the church, is here for the world, right? She is a ministry to the service that she renders to the whole of God's people. And the hope ideally would be that through our witness, through our example, if we live with authenticity the faith, that others are drawn to God, you know. But this idea of communion for those who have divorced, have attempted remarriage, you know, that this is, it was reiterated in 1980 that until, the, you know, that has, that whole situation has to be reconciled with the church, but that that those who have divorced and have attempted remarriage, they don't regard them, the church doesn't regard them as separated from the church by no means, since by virtue of their baptism, they can and they must share in the life of the church by what? Through their prayer, hearing the word of God, being present at the celebration of the Eucharist, and promoting charity and justice, but at the same time, you know that they're not admitted to sacramental to the Eucharist mm-hmm. until that the situation has to be reconciled right. with the Church, and so there's this the call to minister to. The people, but there isn't anyway. So this is we've talked about this before. But this other thing about the law of gradualness, if you recall, this came up as well. The Synod Fathers in 1980 rejected the dichotomy between instruction, which is necessary for any progress in fulfilling the design of God, and doctrine taught by the Church with all its consequences, and which includes the command to live according to that doctrine. So it's not a matter of keeping the law as a mere ideal to be obeyed in the future, but it is a question of the command of Christ the Lord that difficulties should constantly be overcome. In fact, the law of gradualness, as it is called, is not possible unless a person sincerely obeys the divine law and seeks those benefits that are protected and promoted by that law. So for the law of gradualness or gradual progress, it cannot be the same as gradualness of the law, as if there were various grades or forms of commandment for different men and circumstances in the divine law. Does that make sense? So the moral law is not just a mere ideal. And you know, I have to watch myself, because I think sometimes when I speak, I might even give that impression. I said we look to the high standard, right?
Mm-hmm.
The ideal. We're called to an ideal. But it's not just that we're called to an ideal, but that we're called today to live in the truth, because it is a truth that sets us free. You know, and yes, of course, we go and we sin more and more, but so we might fall along the way, but that doesn't mean that we're not obligated to try. And so we have to recognize the reality of our sins. We have to be able to say, you know, this is indeed sinful behavior. What I do or what I don't do is sin. It's not that, well, the grace of God is, as the scripture, it goes back to the image of the potter and the clay, that the potter molds the clay, he fashions the clay. So we're being fashioned, we're being molded, we're being, through the whole of our life, if we're disposed, we have to be disposed, but that to be disposed to do the will of God means that we're constantly undergoing a purification that brings a transformation, and that transformation brings sanctification. I think these are these three words that we need to keep before us at all times. So it's not just, okay, I settle into a way of living or a way of being that is absolutely contrary to God's plan or God's design for human beings, for the human person. So we say, okay, well, this is who I am, and I become comfortable with this, knowing that it's contrary to the laws of God. But now that I adhere to that, I strive to live according to God's law, the precepts and the values and the morality that the Lord has laid out for us, that we strive to live that with the help of God's grace, because we know that left to ourselves, we cannot. We need the grace of God. We need the purifying and the transforming and the sanctifying grace of God to bring us into this true liberation, this true freedom, true life in God. So it's not, does that make sense as I'm talking about this?
Yes.
So it's not a gradual, that I can be content with who I am right here mm-hmm. and now, but it's being interiorly bothered by what in my life is not in conformity with the life of God, the laws of God, the plan that the Lord has laid out, that there has to be this sensitivity. So there's this sensitivity to God and to the things of God. And this is what will bring us into this whole discussion on the wrath of God, which is kind of interesting, and I'm trying to wrap my head around this a little bit. But why don't we do this? Let's take a break, and we'll come back, and let's just go into that. Does this make sense as I'm talking about?
Yes.
The interesting thing is that the Synod in 1980, you know, it's almost as if you could have taken what Pope John Paul II said or the outcome of that. It's just interesting. It's nothing new under the sun.
No.
But how quick maybe perhaps we forget, or I guess we have to acknowledge the fact that God is certainly ever present, ever active, and God is constant. He's unchangeable. He's consistent. So we, on the other hand, we're inconsistent.
Oh, yes,
very much.
We're constantly changing or constantly manipulated or we're being toyed with or we kind of go, like St. Paul says to Timothy, you know, or is it to Timothy? I believe it's to Timothy. He says, be careful of those who come and they tickle your ear and they lead you here or there or wherever it may be, you know, with their philosophy or their
ideology
or their smooth talk mm-hmm. or or whatever. And certainly, going back to Welcome Back, Cotter, I mean, you know, wasn't that, didn't we as young people, you know, enjoy that and want to imitate the sweat hogs, you know, and, mm-hmm. and, you know, prove ourselves to be, you know, on par with the mm-hmm. teacher, or that we've got something over the teacher, or that we're going to
we know better,
be a bit rebellious. Mm-hmm. You know, it's just, anyway, if that makes any sense. Let's take a break. We'll come back, and then we'll talk about the wrath of God. It's interesting. Maybe you guys can tell me what you think when you hear about the wrath of God. I'll make two examples given in yesterday's reading and today's reading, because it came up both times. So we'll be right back, everybody. Don't go away. I'm Father Anthony. You're listening to Listen to Portal Winds of Change, and AM 750 WNDZ.
Hello, you silly elves.
Hello, Santa.
Listen, elves. St. Stanislaus Koska is having its annual Christmas Bazaar Craft and Vendor Fair.
This sounds like fun.
And, elves, I'm going to need your help to get ready.
We're happy to help.
Santa, when is the Christmas Bazaar Craft and Vendor Fair?
Well, Elfie, St. Stan's Christmas Bazaar Craft and Vendor Fair takes place Sunday, November 2nd, from 10 a.m. to 5 p.m.
Santa, is there going to be food?
You silly elf. Yes.
Yay.
Here, elves, read the menu.
Ooh, mostacholi, etzanais.
Turkey and ham sandwiches.
Hot dogs.
Flautas.
Tamales.
Corn.
And so much more.
Is there going to be a raffle?
Yes, with prizes from $50 to $1,500. And the drawing is at 4.
Come join us for an afternoon of fun and games with tabs, sale items, bake sale, and so much more. And Santa will be there, too. St. Stan's Christmas Bazaar Craft and Vendor Fair, Sunday, November 2nd, from 10 a.m. till 5 p.m. at 1255 North Noble Street, Chicago, one block north of Division Street.
The Winds of Change
on AM 750 WNDZ and on the World Wide Web at windsofchangeshow.com.
Forming Faithful Families is now offering our 15-episode video series on DVD, filmed in stunning high definition with a free downloadable Small Faith Discussion Group program guide. We hope that you will consider purchasing, implementing, and promoting this video series at the personal and small group level. Forming Faithful Families is a faithful and trustworthy parish-based and small faith community program for marriage and family life faith formation in service to the new evangelization pertaining to the Catholic faith. Listen to this recommendation.
Firmly grounded in the teaching of the Catholic Church, sacred scripture, and the wisdom of the saints, with this series, James and Kathleen offer a thirsty world a refreshing and satisfying drink.
It also makes a great gift with eternal benefits for both the giver and the receiver. To order your DVD set today, visit formingfaithfulfamilies.com or call 708-334-1988. That's formingfaithfulfamilies.com or call 708-334-1988.
Welcome back, everybody. Thanks for being with us. So that was, you know, when I was talking about the Pope speaking to this, I said Schoenstatt or whatever. It's Schoenstatt, the Schoenstatt movement that came out of Germany. It's an international Marian apostolic organization celebrating their 100th anniversary, but there are 7,000 pilgrims belonging to this Schoenstatt movement, and they met with the Pope. 7,000, can you imagine? He met with 7,000 of them. Well, that's not uncommon, and there's 50 to 60,000 at the audience on Sunday. But they asked about the Pope being a revolutionary, you know, as the media often speaks of him as a revolutionary. And he says, you know, he says, the church is constantly reforming itself, and that the first revolution or way of renewing the church is through inner holiness, and that counts far more than more external ways such as reforming the Curia or reforming the Vatican Bank. Yeah. So he talked about the importance of having a freedom of spirit and in giving ourselves over to God and allowing the Spirit of God, I go back to what I was saying, the potter to mold the clay, to bring us into so that we're being constantly purified and transformed. See, transformation is a very purification, it hurts, right? Mm-hmm. Even the sound of the word, mm-hmm. purification. But we have to be purged of these things, inordinate attachments or things that we hold on to, our own idols or the false stuff, falsehood and all that. We have to be purged of all that in order to experience the... So the purification begins, and that brings us into a transformation. Transformation is a beautiful thing. It has a beautiful connotation, doesn't it? To be transformed into more, to be more transformed into our true self is created in the image and likeness of God. And that transformation then naturally leads to sanctification so that the goal would be to be able to say, as St. Paul said, it's no longer I who live, but Christ Jesus who lives in me. Or St. John the Baptist, you know, in the presence of Jesus, the Lamb of God, look there, the Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world. I decrease that he increase, you know, that he increase in me. I say it so often here when Jesus says, lose yourself and you'll find yourself. So we lose ourselves. We lose ourselves in finding Jesus, and then in finding Christ, and we find ourselves in the Lord. God is our Creator, created in His image and likeness. Die to yourself, and you'll live. He is life, and so we die to ourselves in order to live in Him, and then we have the fullness of life. So anyway, but this the wrath of God. I wanted to bring this up because I was reading a commentary on this, and again, maybe you guys can help me. When you think of the wrath of God, what do you think? Well, Jesus said, So was it yesterday in the second letter at Mass, in the second reading at Mass, Paul's letter to the Thessalonians, his first letter to the Thessalonians, Paul is complimenting the people for becoming imitators of us and therefore of imitators of the Lord, receiving the word in great affliction with joy from the Holy Spirit so that they could become a model for the other believers. And he speaks of the believers in Macedonia and Achaia. But at the end of the passage, he says... these people, they themselves openly declare about us what sort of reception we had among you, okay, how you turned to God from idols, you turned away from your idols to serve the living and true God and to await his Son from heaven, whom he raised from the dead, Jesus, who delivers us from the coming wrath, okay, the coming wrath. And then today, actually, Geraldine, you did the reading this morning, so you should... probably give it back to me word for word, right? But it was, do you remember even from where the reading came? It was Paul in his letter to the Ephesians, right? And towards the end of that, he says, let no one deceive you with empty arguments, for because of these things, the wrath of God is coming upon the disobedient, the wrath of God. So when you hear that, what do you think? I mean, how do you, what is in your mind or in your experience maybe? The wrath of God. What does that mean?
I don't know what it means, because I have done things in my life where if I were God, I would be full of wrath toward me. But I don't feel that he has been, and I don't understand it, because I don't know.
But you just said something that is really very profound and very much at the heart of this, and it's not so much the wrath of God, but it's the wrath within you.
Yes, yes.
Within you.
And this is loaded with wrath.
Well, yeah, of course. we've been the recipients or the victims of that.
I know.
No, but seriously, you know, this is, it's because, do you guys, Tony, Christine?
When I think of wrath, I think of anger or displeasure. But it was interesting what Jerry said, because I don't feel that. I mean, knowing God's anger is something I've always had a problem with, because I firmly believe, how could a God who loves me so give me, you know, be anger or throw bad things on me? But I always liken it to a father and a son. Right. A father disciplines a son, mm-hmm. not because he hates that child, or he wants to see evil with that child, but he feels for that child.
He loves the child.
He
yeah.
loves the mm-hmm. child. He, you know, it's better that I do this so you know, you learn. And that's the way I always look at God. God is, and will be angry at his creation. And again, you know, these are things that, you know, when you think of like earthquakes and bad weather and just bad things that happen to people, I don't liken it to God's anger. I liken it to sort of like when you used to talk about chastisement, or you talk about, you know, purification.
Right.
It's not an easy thing. It's going to hurt, but in the end, there's something greater that comes out of it.
It's really about our disposition, our place before God and before others. You know, God isn't like he's not like Geraldine. You know, where he's moody and he you know he's this way one moment and this way another way. Exactly. Yeah.
You know? But you know what I see it as?
What do you see? Are you having visions now? What do you see?
No, not right now. But no, God loves us so much, and the wrath of God, he doesn't spoil us. Like if we are disobedient, we bring upon ourselves the punishment for being disobedient. And that's how I see the wrath. He allows things to happen so that we can learn and purify and mature. That's how I see it.
Yeah. It's interesting. You know, I think yesterday I mentioned at one of the masses, certainly about the God isn't a permissive God. You know, so yeah. In fact, the gospel was love. What is the Sadducees asked, the Pharisees and the Sadducees, I think it was one of the two, I think both asked, you know, what is the, I guess it was the Sadducees asking, what is the greatest commandment? You know, they're always trying to trap him, trip him up and all that. And he said, you shall love the Lord your God with your mind, your body, your soul, your spirit, with your whole being. That's the first. They didn't ask for a second, but he gave a second. He says, and the second is like the first, love your neighbor as you love yourself. And of course, Jesus will show us through the gospel that, you know, that neighbor includes the enemy as well. He'll also talk about love as being sacrificial. You know, no greater love than that you lay down your life for your friend. So the idea that, you know, we so superficialize, we have this very shallow, so many people do, this shallow, even, well, Dolly Parton. So I was reading this Saturday, Dolly, because she said it's got to be true, you know. And this was, again, about the gay-lesbian agenda and all that. And she said, well, Jesus wouldn't judge, you know. And this is how people will take even the Holy Fathers when he was asked a question on the plane.
Yeah. Right.
And I don't want to focus on the gays and the lesbians, but I'm just saying that here again, it's this who dominates the discourse in the society today, you know, and completely distorts the church's understanding and treatment of the human person. This is not a fixation on that person's sexuality, but on the full person, the fullness of that whole person. But Dolly Parton said that that Jesus, you know, wouldn't judge. You know, Jesus is all love. But it's true. He does judge, because, you know. Mm-hmm. And by the way, again, the full counsel of God, the selective reading of Scripture, or just showing where we're not, you know, perhaps in our understanding of sacred Scripture, you know. The whole of Scripture speaks of the coming judgment, that we will stand before God and we will be judged for what we did or didn't do with the life that was given to us. And God is not a permissive God. I use the example, I said, you know, like any parent, anybody listening to the radio right now, I mean, what parent is a permissive parent? Do whatever you want, you know, it doesn't matter, you know. No, and if we talk about the wrath of a parent— properly understood or properly lived, you know, put aside. But let's, you know, God's wrath is, God is perfection. God is stability. God is constancy. God is unchanging. Mm-hmm. And so when we speak about the wrath of God, it's really how we are before God. An example would be the Adam and Eve in the Garden of Gethsemane and the Garden of Eden. Mm-hmm. You know, they had bliss. They were in paradise. They were at peace. There was perfect harmony. And they were in friendship with God. But when they disobeyed God, then all of a sudden, God didn't change. They changed, right?
Mm-hmm.
And they had to hide themselves from God. They couldn't come close to God. Does that make sense?
Yes. Oh, yes.
But anyway, the parent says, okay, so I'd use the example, yes, we're right here along the Kennedy Expressway, right?
Mm-hmm.
So the child says, you know, I want to take a walk along the Kennedy Expressway. Okay, if that's what you want to do, if it's going to make you happy, then you know, go ahead. You know, what parent, you know, a permissive parent, a parent that is permissive is betraying a little bit about their own insecurities or whatever, you know, that they somehow they need to perhaps befriend the child or not want to do anything and to offend the child. No, if a child has to be saved from himself or herself. You know, part of the job of parents is to break that self-centeredness, you know, to bring the child to understand, hey, listen, you know, you're not the center of the world and the world doesn't revolve around you. God is the center. The world revolves around God. And we're all in this together, right? And the parent has to prepare that child to be a good citizen of the land, to be to participate in the work of life, because life is work. You know, and also the parent should have a concern for the salvation of that child. So it's not going to just allow the child to do whatever he or she wants to do. But in any case, going back to the whole question of the wrath of God, I mean, Jesus says, you know, whoever believes in the Son has eternal life, but whoever rejects the Son will not see life, for God's wrath remains on him. The wrath of God is being revealed from heaven against all the godlessness and wickedness of men who suppress the truth by their wickedness. Paul in his letter to the Romans. Do not take revenge, my friends, but leave room for God's wrath, for it is written, it is mine to avenge, I will repay, says the Lord. Let no one deceive you with empty words, for because of such things, in essence, sexual immorality, God's wrath comes on those who are disobedient. For God did not appoint us to suffer wrath, no, mm-hmm. not to suffer, mm-hmm. right, no. but to receive salvation through our Lord Jesus Christ. And then in the book of Revelation, the angel swung his sickle on the earth, gathered its grapes, and threw them into the grape winepress of God's wrath. So what is God's wrath? How do we reconcile that with the love of God? You know, and it's not so the point is, all this I read was just from the New Testament. So, you know, we'll say, well, it's the Old Testament God. Well, no, it's very much present in the gospel and in the letters and the epistles as well. So God's wrath is his passion to set things right and to save us from ourselves, to save us from ourselves. Again, when God in Genesis, when God cursed Satan and said, "I will make you and the woman enemies, one of her seed will crush your head while you strike at his heel." God is clearly angered at what sin has done to Adam and Eve. Mm-hmm. And he continues to have anger whenever he beholds sin and injustice. He has passion for our holiness. He wants what is best for us. He is angered by what hinders us in this regard. Sin provokes his wrath. And by the way, in the Bible, and this is repeated in the Catechism, the five sins that especially cry out to heaven are what?
Pride.
Willful murder. Mm. The sin of the sodomites.
Okay.
And the orphan. I'm sorry. The cry of the foreigner, the widow, the orphan. When we, go against the foreigner, the widow, the orphan, the cry of the people oppressed. People are being oppressed, and injustice to the wage earner. Those are the sins that cry out for the wrath of God, because it creates unbelievable disorder and harm and suffering in the life of individuals and the community and the family. But there's need for clarification, because God's wrath is not like Geraldine's anger. It's not. It's not like our anger. When we say that God is angry, we have to be careful to understand that however God experiences anger or passion, it is not tainted by sin. God is not angry the way we are angry. When we get angry, we experience ourselves as being out of control. Our temper flares. And we often say and do things that are excessive, if not sinful. This doesn't pertain to God, to have temper tantrums. God doesn't have temper tantrums. He doesn't fly off the handle.
No, we do.
He doesn't combine anger with an unreasonable lashing out. The way God does experience anger is not something we can fully understand, because it's because he's sovereign. And his is a serene act of the will, not an out of control emotion. And the other thing, as I said, you know, God is not moody. He's not moody. He doesn't have good days and bad days, good moods and bad moods. That's we do. He doesn't.
Mm-hmm. He's pretty stable.
Right. He is
he's
stability.
Stable, yeah.
As James says, every good and perfect gift comes from above, from the Father of lights, in whom there is no variableness or shadow or turning. Hence, to speak of God's wrath does not mean that he has suddenly had enough and that his temper has flared or that his mood is soured. God is. God is. He does not change. Mm-hmm. You know, So given what we've said, you know, the primary location of God's wrath is not in God. It goes back to what you were saying, Geraldine. It is in us.
Oh, yes.
It is in us. I use this because we're just about at the end of the hour, so I'm going to have to kind of wrap it up here. But God's wrath is our experience of the total incompatibility of our sinful state before the holiness of God.
Oh, mm-hmm. Yes.
Sin is incompatible. That's why I tell you, and we're going to get into this in this week, because we got coming up the Feast of All Saints, and the Feast of the commemoration of the faithful departed.
Right.
And so this is the question, you know, I'm going to ask. Maybe you think about that. If your time were to come right now, where would you go? Huh. Would you go to heaven? Would you go to hell? Where would you go? I know that I won't go to heaven. I know, as clear as I stand before God and before you, that right now, if I were to die in this instant, I am 100% certain I will not go to heaven. But I don't want to say I'm 100% certain I'm not going to go to hell, but I do believe that I need further purification. There's a
I'm hoping to get into purgatory.
Well, we're
that's
hoping you are,
yes,
too. We're praying.
That's our
goal. We're praying that you will. You
I'm hoping to get one of those tickets into purgatory.
By the way, I heard something this morning. Gosh, I can't remember it. We're at the end of the hour, so I'm not going to even go into it. But it was so funny. It was about a man who died, and he sent an email message to his wife. She was shocked. You know, she couldn't believe it. He died, and he says, you know, something like to the effect that well, I don't remember, but he says I'm so happy you're going to be here. You're going to be here tomorrow with me, and he Ooh. Says it's very, very warm here. He said very, very
oh,
warm.
Oh, nice.
And she had a heart attack right there and died. You know? But anyway, I didn't say it right, but it was. But the point is that sin and God's holiness, they don't mix.
Yeah.
They don't keep company. Mm-hmm. You got to think of fire and water. Fire and water doesn't mix. It doesn't compute, right?
No.
And so here we are out of time. But anyway, you know, maybe we'll come back to this. But we're out of time. We're out of time.
Yeah.
So wasted time on too many other foolish things. I don't know, but it was fun. Anyway, everybody, thank you so much for being with us. We will be back tomorrow, God willing. Almighty God bless you, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit.
Amen. Amen.
Ciao.
Inside is rot. It's time to be stirred. The time.